listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Hello. Welcome to Don't Mention the Football, episode 16. We're back after a little break because of an international break. We've got two games to talk about. The Dusseldorf away and Hoffenheim at home.
I'm here also.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Jan.
Jan will probably do more of the talking because I'm not feeling so hot today.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes.
Okay. We had the international break, as you said, and why don't we just start off with the glorious away game at Dusseldorf on match day 11, which I have to say I attended in person, which probably wasn't the best of ideas.
I'm sure it seemed like a good idea at the time.
No, it didn't. I know ahead of time. The game was wonderful for one for Dusseldorf after a halftime score of 0-0. I don't even know if there are any highlights to talk about. Hertha started out with Jahrstein on goal, Mittelstädt in for Plattenhardt, Rekik, Stark, Lazaro, Darida and Meyer, Dilrosun, Duda and Kalou and Ibišević in front. The whole thing started out not too good, not too bad, but Maxi Mittelstädt gave the game a pretty unhappy turn.
Yep.
He picked up a yellow card in the 27th minute.
And it all went a bit belly up from that point onwards.
A bit belly up. He got a yellow card in the 27th minute for a tactical foul. And in the 41st minute, he got the...
Not a very subtle tactical.
Not very subtle. He just went there. And then he was sent off in the 41st minute. What else? The 25th minute, Stark had to get out of the game because of his bruised foot, something he has been battling with in the past few games. And he's out indefinitely. So far, so bad. So Lukasen had to come in the 25th minute. And the first half was just not too good, not too bad. The best thing was that Dusseldorf wasn't very dangerous and most of their attempts went far off the goal and we didn't expect too much from them. And me personally, I was really hoping for a performance as the away game in Leipzig last year when Torunariga was sent off very early. And Hertha still managed to squeeze out a 3-2 win against Leipzig. But this was not about to happen. What's your take, Simon, so far?
It was a pretty horrible game, really, from the point where Maxi did a chop to the Dusseldorf player's throat. It all went sort of badly downhill. I think it was about 50 odd minutes, something like that, the first goal went in.
It wasn't the 51st minute.
51st minute.
51st minute.
Yeah.
Dada had taken out Ibišević in favour of Jordan Torunariga to strengthen the defence.
That was the plan anyway.
That was the plan and it just backfired.
It didn't work quite so well.
Lukasen.
It was a cunning plan. But poorly executed.
I mean, Lukasen is not really in a playing rhythm too much, which is okay because he was not supposed to be the starting or supposed to play too much. He did all right in the Freiburg game, I guess. But this game did not. And then Torunariga, who had been injured before, and he had just come back from this injury and he wasn't really
properly much... I don't know about fit, but aware. He wasn't up to speed, was he?
He wasn't there. That I also said after the game. He wasn't really there. And then the whole thing just... I don't know. They just crashed and burned. There was no fire. Dusseldorf just...
I mean, the first goal was a bit of a rocket. I think I saw somewhere that it was 103 kilometres an hour. It went in a... And Lukasen just sort of watched it go past, really. mind you, what you'd do against a ball coming at you at 103 kilometres an hour, I don't know. But yeah,
I think
didn't work out so well.
That goal still was had something of a okay. That was a really good shot. That's okay. That can happen. But
yeah.
Then some more things happened after that. In the 63rd minute, Hennings went for the second goal. And then in the 84th minute, Rahman made it a nice 3-0 against our beloved Hertha. Mm-hmm. And the only good thing was in the 57th minute that I put in Selke for Duda, who was not having a very good game.
Mm-hmm.
And Selke somehow managed to put one in and give us...
It was a nice goal from Selke. Yeah, I mean, he ran a big sort of chunk of the pitch and finished it well. You quite often see that where a player sort of runs down half the length of the pitch, and when it comes down to the end, they sort of put it into low orbit or wide or something daft. But he sort of finished it clinically, which was the one little nice bit of that game.
The only thing, I had the feeling that he was the only one really trying hard, from my view in the stadium on the away end.
What was the atmosphere like there?
Better than the last home game, I'd say. Well,
that's not saying an awful lot, is it, really? I mean, generally speaking, I mean, away supporters tend to be more sort of hardcore, don't they, and support well, we were.
Yeah, but I also had a lady not sitting too far away from me who was talking on the phone and waving to her friends over in the VIP section. I don't know what she was doing there. But
that's really annoying.
The support was good. No pyrotechnics or anything that could
probably
have...
good idea.
Yeah,
remember what happened on the previous.
Didn't really expect that.
Game, but,
and another,
I do find it irritating. You were saying about that the lady there talking on the phone, what have you? You know, going to concerts where you have somebody standing there talking on the phone while
or people talking at concerts.
Yeah, you're there to. Yeah, just really. I just thought I'd mention that, dear listener. It's got nothing to do with football, but I find it really annoying.
It was.
That's just me.
It was before the game, but still, she kept waving. Can you see me? Can you see me?
Before the game, that's fair play. Yeah,
but still, you don't do that. One good thing is maybe I don't know if Düsseldorf.
We digress once more.
If Düsseldorf did that on purpose, but the restrooms didn't have any ceramics in there. It was all metal, so nothing could be broken in case anything broke out.
You're trying to say that the reputation of the Hertha fans preceded them, is that what you're saying?
I don't think they just changed that so fast, but good thing was I got in, wanted to go to the restroom, and somebody warned me nicely that two of those restrooms had already been occupied with somebody's food, which came out the wrong side, but maybe that's not really part of...
I'm not sure I wanted to know that, really.
Yeah, sorry. As such, the stadium was ugly. The trip there was okay. The interesting thing was we saw security people all the way to the stadium, already on different stops of the train, which I'm not used to. Sometimes I see security starting at the station where people are going and at the central station. But we changed somewhere from one subway to the other.
You say that. I mean, going to the Hertha game, this time there were groups of police at Westkreuz, for example. Yeah.
But it's not what happens usually, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is in Berlin, anyway. So they're always in groups. I mean, you know, if you get somebody that gets picked up for dropping litter in Berlin, they always come up with a huge great van full of police, but that's just the way it seems to work. But yeah, they're just standing there watching people go past. There was no aggro or anything. But
back to the beautiful game we were watching.
Sorry, I digress again.
Maybe we should just finish off the game with a wonderful and fitting in the 90 plus 2 minute, Rahman did the 4-1. It was just a bad experience. And before the game, I didn't like Düsseldorf supporters too much because of the whole story with the relegation game back in the day. And they didn't do anything to make me change my mind. But support was nice. Everything was working. They supported mostly all of the game. So that was... Because we were scared we would be on a away game without support. Mm-hmm. We had that before when we went to Düsseldorf, to Hamburg. Remember HSV when they were playing in the Bundesliga?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's a blast from the past, that is.
They played Union yesterday.
They did, yeah.
And Union squeezed out...
It was a draw, wasn't it? It was 2-2 in the
end. It was a 2-2, yeah. I watched it. It was a very late equaliser by Union, so it was kind of nice. Late equalizers, something we're going to come back to later.
Yeah.
Düsseldorf as such was okay. Way there was okay. But what they did, they had this stupid thing where fans need to be separated. So before the game, we arrived with everybody else. This whole thing is near the Messe, where all the fairs are and everything. But after the game, people were separated. So as an away fan, you were...
I think it's more conferences and things
conferences,
like that.
Yeah. Not church, no. And so fans were separated. So after the game, you were supposed to take a shuttle bus to some other station, which we didn't want to do. So we took to walking all the way around the area to make it to a train with Düsseldorf fans. And then, oh, there was almost a fight on the train. It was so stupid. People are so stupid.
Keep on telling you not to do that, Jan. So he's terrible.
What? I wasn't fighting. I was just... we were on this train, and then this one guy... And one guy was very drunk, of course. The other guy, too. And then they started fighting. Oh, it was just so... Oh, I totally forgot about that part. And then there was a fight at Hauptbahnhof. It was every... how stupid can you be? How can you fight about something... How can you fight, first? Second, how can you fight about a football match? Because we were standing at the central station with some other people from Axel Kruse, who did the away trip, like Ines and Rolf and Nico. And we also met Carsten Meske.
Is that young Nico or old Nico?
Both Nikos. Because young Nico lives in the area.
Yeah, yes. That's why I wondered if it was young Nico.
He came and old Nico took...
we were awash with Nikos.
Old Nico took the train with the other guys. I arrived a few days early, which was... The only good thing
just
about the whole trip.
You've just been keen, weren't you?
Keen to get there?
Yeah.
No, I'm keen to have some other experiences apart from this horrible game. Because if the game goes shitty and you go home, you just had a shitty day. If I go somewhere for 2 or 3 days and then I see some other stuff and I meet family or something
I can see a logic to that. That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, you don't fly back right after the home games, do you?
No.
See. Anyway... it was a fight on Hauptbahnhof. One guy walked back and walked past and sang something about how shitty Berlin was, and then another guy came in, and then they just utter stupidity. I don't get it at all.
No, but no. There you go. No accounting for people sometimes. What can you say?
What can we say? Not much. Injuries. So Stark went out. That's what we... Or said earlier, he's out with a bruised foot indefinitely, or for the rest of the first portion of the season. Then they had there was a test match against, I forgot against who it was, but Rikic was injured. So he's out with a torn muscle fiber.
Fantastic. Our defense just gets better and better. And better and better at getting injured anyway.
And Lukas Klünter is also out with a torn muscle bundle indefinitely. So, I mean, we have an offense is okay, midfield is okay, but we have big problems
big
on
problem
the defensive
the defense.
End.
Yeah.
I mean, how everybody's injured.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it reflects in the scoreline. It's in the last two games we've conceded.
In the last three games, we had 10 goals.
Two games? Seven.
In the last three games, we had 10 goals, because it was three from Leipzig.
Well, there were seven in the last two.
And three. I think 10 from three sounds worse, because it's double digits.
And that's a lot. Well, we have scored a few, certainly in this last game anyway, but...
we conceded 10 goals in three games.
That's a... But well, goal difference is down to minus one now, isn't it?
I was so happy for having and finally Hertha having a positive goal difference for the first time ever
in 40 years.
Not in 40 years, but in the recent future, and it all went to.
It feels a long time ago that we were saying this is the best start that Hertha have had in the Bundesliga since it was formed.
Second best start, I guess. But
now it's probably sort of slipped right down there, isn't it? It's gone right down the toilet. A bit like that person's food that you were talking about earlier on. But
interesting, we're in eighth place right now, if I'm not mistaken.
I think we are, yeah.
And we're already talking about it being down the toilet. So things have changed compared to 2015,
Quite often, had to come back after the winter break and things sort of go to pot. We've just sort of done it a bit earlier this year, that's all.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, perhaps we just get that out the way. And then when we come back after the winter break...
I would love that.
Everything would be fine and dandy. That would make a change.
Yeah.
I would enjoy that. That would be good.
I'm just looking forward to the defeat on the last match day at home against Leverkusen.
No, not again.
I'm still thinking about taking a boat trip on that day. How about that?
Boat trip?
Yeah, go. You know, one of those boat rides you can... 3 hours.
Why would you do that?
To not be in the stadium when it happens.
Oh, I see, right. No. But there's a fan march beforehand, the last home game of the season.
Oh, all these criminals with their pyrotechnics?
That's the ones.
And murderers and whatnot. Mm. The hysterics surrounding the whole thing are just hysterical.
We'll walk along with Ines, because she likes to be right in the middle of it all. And
oh, maybe I'll skip that one.
Yeah.
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 All the... Not so well...
All the blue smoke and the... Yes.
Okay, for the first time in a long time, I was happy for the international break. Because usually, Hertha is on a roll, and then the international break comes along. And this time, it's like, oh... Whew. International break, maybe some people can get better. But turns out Rikic and Klünter also were injured, so not so much.
Not as you'd notice, anyway. No.
I was talking to this Bremen fan if we could get Langkamp back, but she wasn't very keen on releasing him because...
Did you say pretty please?
I said pretty please, but she said, I like him way too much and he's a very clever guy. I like when he talks.
Okay. But if you're not using him, couldn't we just borrow him for a while? No.
He was on the squad, but he didn't play in the last game. Yeah, but what you going to do? I had to going to get more defenders in the winter break? Who would come for an okay amount of money?
We should have been okay, really, with the number that we
35 players
that we've got, but we've just been so appallingly unlucky with defensive injuries.
I mean, we still have Bark, who's from the youth academy, but
he's had a couple of runouts, hasn't he? I think was it one runout?
His 88th minute, but last season he wasn't even on the squad this season, I guess. And I just heard. I read that Dardai said he wasn't there yet. Mm-hmm. He's not ready for man's football, as he calls it.
Jordan Torunariga wasn't really there in Düsseldorf, and it showed, really. Yeah. Poor chap. Just wasn't ready yet. Anyway.
Just abysmal. So things could only get better from there.
Hmm. So this weekend just gone, we had the village team turn up.
The village team? Ah, sorry, yeah. I mean, Düsseldorf means village near the Düssel, which is the river Düssel, so I was a bit...
Well, Hoffenheim, there's nothing there.
Sinsheim. Matchday 12, we had the TSG Hoffenheim at home.
And they brought about 20 fans in the away block.
Didn't they?
Yeah, there was nobody there. It was almost completely empty.
It was a Saturday.
Yeah, it's a tough day to get somewhere, Saturday afternoon.
Especially, did we have a late game? No, we had
no. It was no. 3:30 kickoff.
It's just very far away.
A traditional football time. As it should be.
As much as this still exists, like the traditional football time. Mm-hmm. Yes. I have to admit that we couldn't make it to the game. Because my wife and I were not really under the weather, and we had our Christmas party at night, so we made the decision to skip the game and just go to the Christmas party. Because we did the whole tombola thing, and we didn't want you guys to be without your glorious prizes.
Indeed, yes.
We'll get to that later. What a great teaser.
Yes. Okay. The excitement knows no bounds.
TSG were this year are in playing in the Champions League. So that's not too shabby. And they were on a run of 4 wins in a row in the league, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest fear throughout the whole international break was we're going to get trounced 0-5, like this one time under Luhukay. And the beginning...
It started to look a bit like it. Oh, it was a horrible start.
Let's just do the squad. We had Jahrstein on goal. Plattenhardt moved in as left defender because some young player... was banned for one match for getting red and yellow.
Mentioning no names. Maxi.
Our central defense was Lustenberger and Lukasen now, which just shows how desperate we are.
Yeah.
Nothing against Lustenberger.
It's not his favorite position, is it?
Mm. And he's not the starting player as well as Lukasen. And we had Lazaro on the right. Comeback by Marco Grujic. After his injury picked up against...
Yeah, it was nice to see him back.
Mönchengladbach. Arne Meyer. Kalou Duda Lekki, who came back in.
That was his first start, I think.
Even though he was travelling extensively.
Yeah.
And Ibišević was our striker.
Man up front.
Our man up front.
Mm-hmm.
Things didn't go that well. I'll hand it over to you, Simon. Give us the whole shebang.
I mean, right at the very start. I think it was inside the first minute.
It was the first minute.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I mean, it's an absolutely dreadful start. Krulic did it was, you know, playing a defensive role in that particular moment in time. And rather than just hoof the ball away, which he should have done, he tried to do a pass out to the
Plattenhardt,
to the left-hand side, and it never got as far as Plattenhardt. It was intercepted, and it was promptly then put back into the middle, and then Hoffenheim laid it back and bang, and it went with, leaving poor Rune with no chance at all.
He couldn't see the ball.
He couldn't see it, no. I mean, it was quite slick almost from the Hoffenheim point of view. The little layback worked really well, and he just completely leathered it into the back of the net, and Rune just sort of, he didn't even really move, did he? Because he just didn't see it coming, because there were people all in front of him.
Because Scholler was...
And that within a minute... Oh, I mean, the place was absolutely just like a stony silence.
But we had the support was back. We didn't mention that earlier.
Yeah, indeed, yes. Because all the singing was back, the banners were back, so that, you know, the ban on the flags and banners and things had been lifted by Hertha.
It was reported in the press that there was this meeting between the management and fans, and it was also reported that ultra groups were also involved, so I really hope that we somehow got around this little cliff and things might get better. And earlier this week, earlier before the game, Hertha renounced this ban.
Yeah, they lifted the ban on the banners and flags and things. And I mean, the support was back there again. The singing was there, all the bouncing and the flags and the whole shebang, which was a joy to see again.
Yeah,
excellent.
You never know how much you miss something unless you miss it.
Oh, the atmosphere in that last game, I think I probably said at the time, but you know, when the ban was in place and the support wasn't there, I just felt so sorry for anybody that were visiting you know, Berlin to come and see a Bundesliga game that which people talk about all the support and
this
the arrived
atmosphere.
Here and thought, what the hell are they talking about? What's going on here? But anyway, enough of that. The support was there and it was good. Apart from when that goal went in, when, as I said, there was a deathly silence. Little bit on from that.
10th minute.
Thank God, went from bad to worse.
Oh yeah.
It was just because Bauermann, the Hoffenheim keeper, kicked the ball out away from his goal.
In a big.
And then he realised that he didn't kick it quite hard enough because one of our players, not sure who it was, from where it was, it might have been Marvin, maybe, I don't know. Some
Marvin's never that far.
No, but he's too far forward for that. Whatever, it doesn't really matter who it was. But anyway, Bauermann chased after it, so he was doing a sweeper-keeper job. And then he hoofed it down the pitch. Now, the Hertha defence were playing a very, very high line, so up by the halfway line. But when Bauermann sort of hoofed it, it basically bypassed our whole defence completely. And
Kramaric.
It went charging off down towards our goal with Lustig in hot pursuit, but not hot enough really. Got shot away, bang, 2-0 down. Horrible. You couldn't see it that well from where I was in the stadium, probably sort of too far down towards the Ostkurve, I guess. But looking at it in the replay, it was just horrible. I mean, it was like we didn't really have a defence because that play, it just took it out completely. And once he got the ball and he was charging in towards that goal, they weren't going to catch him. Horrible.
So
2-0 down.
So the 0-5 looked like a real possibility at that moment.
It was looking grim at the time.
But then in the 13th minute, something good happened.
Yeah.
What happened? Hertha didn't really give up as they did in Düsseldorf?
No.
I remember Grujic making lots of moves.
He was doing okay. Okay, he made that boo-boo at the start for that first goal. But he was doing good things in midfield, and it was nice to see him back doing his stuff there.
He's very secure with the ball and knows where to put it, and he goes past people. I mean, he just came back from injury.
Yeah.
And he just, at some point on the right wing, he just went past two guys and put the ball into the middle. Didn't come up to anything, but still.
Yeah.
Duda had the ball in the box.
Yeah, and he whacked in a shot which was deflected off. Can't remember who.
Bauermann.
Who off. Was it Bauermann?
It was Bauermann himself.
He didn't. And then as the ball came off, our glorious captain, Vedator, was lurking on that sort of left post, as he quite often does.
Lurking.
He whacked it in. He did his best to knock it over the bar, actually. Hit the roof of the net. But he got it in there. And one of the nice things that I recall from that was how he pounced on the ball afterwards and then went running off towards the centre spot with the ball, which showed a passion and a...
And
a will to fight. No, we're getting on with this. We're not sitting back and taking this, which was nice to see.
I think he did the same thing after the second goal too.
I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to watch the whole thing on television, and I just don't like commentators that much sometimes. I try to be nice to them, but they always have a certain tendency, in Germany at least, to just talk about their 3-4 stats they have and put them in somewhere. And this guy basically started jazzing up Hoffenheim at the beginning, not even the beginning of the game, but before the game even started. And then he was totally infatuated with how great Hoffenheim were playing, which was okay because they totally took
Hertha's defense
apart. And at that point, he kept insisting that the goal had to be offside. But it couldn't.
Oh, well, the Ibišević one.
Yeah, the Ibišević was standing offside. But what he probably did not see was that another defender was out of bounds, which results in him being counted as standing on the goal line. So there were two players behind Ibišević, which was Baumann, and the defender who was out of bounds. And thus, it was not... But he kept talking about it for a minute that it had to be ruled offside.
Apparently not.
Yeah, it was...
It was highlighted on the highlights and things. It, that fact was highlighted, so...
Yes. But I don't even know what he was talking about in the first place. So we had a little...
Commentators quite often don't know what they're talking about. So.
Yeah, but they keep insisting on it. And then they step back after 5 minutes... And
somebody in earpiece tells them, shut up, you're being a silly person.
Silly person, yeah. That's what they're going to say. Did you have much hope at that point?
There's always hope. Always hope.
Okay, Gandalf.
But when it's 2-1, you're still in the game there, aren't you? When there's
But there were lots of chances. If you're a goal up...
Or indeed, you're a goal down. There's still a game to be played.
But counting the chances that Hoffenheim had in the first half, we were really lucky to make it into halftime with a.
Well, they skied a few, didn't they? And so we were lucky to get away with that.
And that great save by Marvin Plattenhardt.
Yes,
he saved one
off the line.
He saved one shot on the goal line.
Yeah,
best thing he did all.
I think it was actually. Having said that, it was quite an important thing because if that goal had gone in, then could have been sort of all over kind of job, but it didn't.
So we somehow made it into halftime. I remember lots of chances, and Nico Schulz, the former Hertha player, on the left wing, always getting past Valentino Lazzaro. So there. We were really, really lucky. And I had no hope of this turning out in any way positive at all. I was going for a 6-1 or something like
that. And then there was a free kick.
55th minute.
Which didn't go terribly well.
Bicakcic.
There was same to you. It sounds very nasty.
I'm giving you player names.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were sneezing.
How about a Duda song, Simon?
No, I'm not going there.
Okay.
There was a free kick with an offside trap, a line of Hertha players. Apart from Ibišević, who was ahead of said line, which allowed a header to be got away
by Bicakcic.
And the only person I think in between that was that the one where it was.
Was Kalou and Lekki standing there?
I think the ball came over and Kalou was in front of the sneeze.
Yeah, but Lekki was also somewhere. So.
Was he? The one that I can picture was Kalou, but yeah, I'm sure you're right. Anyway, does it really matter when it comes down to it? Header came away and bang, it was 3-1. So.
And that's where I thought, okay, now it's got to be over.
Yeah.
I'm very keen for it being to be over.
But it wasn't.
Because...
We nearly came back with an Ibišević header at the other end, but Baumann pulled out an absolute blinder of a save, of a world-class save, really.
Well, it was later, I guess. I'm not really sure. There were lots
of...
We ended up with 23 shots by Hertha to 13 by Hoffenheim, which is usually what Hertha does in a season.
So we were going for it. I mean, offensively, there wasn't really... I wouldn't say there wasn't a problem, but, I mean, we were doing okay, thank you very much. And in the midfield, it was the defence where the problem lies. fairly obviously.
And Dade only substituted in Selke for Duda.
Mm.
Somewhere in the 60th, I guess. Which I found strange, because... But then he didn't have any other defenders to sub in.
He didn't... You know, who does he bring in? But as it turned out, the Selke substitution did make a difference, because he had an assist, didn't he?
Lucky, with lots of support by former Hatana Nico Schulz.
Good man, I say. Because he lobbed a cross in from the left-hand side, up over the top, and Lucky was there to pick it up.
Right-hand side.
Selke was on the right-hand side,
yeah.
Put it over the top onto the left. Where
was it strange? The ball hit the foot of Schulz and went all the way up. And
it's because it's deflected off.
Yeah, and the defender couldn't see where the ball was going, but Lecky did, and he just ran in,
yeah,
past the defender and scooped it in somehow. It was a crazy goal.
Yeah, but good. Lecky's, well, it's his first start, wasn't it? This
and the first game he did well.
Yes, first goal.
Yeah.
So
also
good show for him. Well done. 3-2. So back to a one goal difference. Game on.
With still lots of chance. I mean, Hoffenheim, if we really get down to it, they could have easily won that game, but they failed to just seal it. And then when they sort of sealed it in the 55th minute, it still wasn't over.
No.
But maybe they should have killed the game in the first half and then the whole thing would have been over.
Yeah.
And they had misses. They were ridiculous.
Oh, some of them are just... Yeah, it was like one-on-one with a keeper and he sort of sends it into low orbit. I mean, what the hell's that all about?
But we're not complaining.
No, absolutely not. No.
So I still thought the game was over, which is kind of the topic I'm going for here at the whole show. I feel like a bad Hatana after saying it all the time.
It's not over till the fat lady sings, they say.
Ah. So in the 87th minute, 87th, there was some... Was it a corner kick?
Corner, yep.
A corner kick and some unlucky...
I think it got headed up, didn't it?
Yeah.
By a defender. And it just went right up in the air.
Went right up into the air, right outside the box.
And then it bounced down. It ended up sort of coming down by Lazaro.
And Lucas was running towards the ball.
Yeah. And
from the other side.
As the ball came down in towards Lazaro, Lucasen just stepped out the way, didn't he? He just stepped out the way, whereupon Lazaro absolutely leathered it in towards the goal. And of course, yeah, the Bowerman was completely unsighted. And wham, and it went. And we did enjoy that goal.
It was so funny. And you had, as a friend pointed out, you had Kalou... Right inside the box, he was trying to move players out of the way so that there was room for the ball to go through.
I didn't notice that bit with Kalou.
Me neither, but he pointed out. Wolf pointed out to me, and then... it's true, he did some, but nothing big that would have warranted an offensive goal or something like that.
Yeah.
But offensive foul, sorry. And it was just... The funny thing is, we were at home feeling pretty sick, sitting on the couch, and we were about to get ready for the Christmas party, and... Before, we had just been, a goal, And then my wife went totally nuts.
I jumped up at that point in the stadium, and I'd been, wasn't that well, really, to be honest, but at that point, you sort of, you know, with the excitement and the adrenaline and things, I guess, I just sort of jumped up, and I bellowed as loudly as you ever would ever yell anything, really. What was it? I think it was yes. Bloody hell, yes. Really. Poor bloke in front of me. Probably had burst eardrums, I expect.
Sorry, resulted to...
Profanities, yes. It's profanity. Terrible, isn't it?
How bad.
But that was damn good, that.
Yeah. I mean, we're at home,
because it looked, getting ready. It looked so bad, you know, with that start of the game, and then sort of... conceding another one, you know, to be,
yeah.
You know, sort of 3-1 down like that, and to come back and sort of snatch. I think I sent some tweet at the time about, snatching a point from the jaws of defeat or something like that.
Then you put in the picture.
A gif of a shark. I don't know why I did that. I wasn't thinking they were terribly straight at the time. But
The funny thing here at home was with my wife, after watching the entire game pretty much in a level sort of mood, she turned into Jürgen Klopp for 3 seconds, jumping up and down, and which was pretty unusual for watching a game at home, which is horrible, and I don't recommend that to anybody watching a Hertha game at home when you could actually go there.
No.
Not very good.
No.
And somehow,
so
they held on to it.
Damn right. Well, it was like 3 minutes to go, wasn't there? But 3 minutes is long enough to concede a couple of goals if you're really talented. But we didn't.
Oh, and my friends from the Ostkurve said that standing in the Ostkurve, you were just right behind the ball, that you could see how Lazaro was approaching the ball, and then it just went straight into the goal, which is a different perspective than we have where we sit.
Mm. Cool.
It reminded me a bit of the Lustiham. Remember that some years back?
Oh, God. What?
When Lusti scored his...
Yeah.
His last
He doesn't usually score very much, but he absolutely leathered it, didn't he?
It was a beauty. Yes,
it was.
I said Lustihammer. Well.
Indeed.
So the overall mood was positive, you'd say?
Coming away from it, I mean, it was blimmin' awful at the start, but coming away from it, it was another case this season of Hertha coming away with a draw, but feeling like a win. At the end of it all, not because it was such a magnificent team that we were playing, it's just that the way it all panned out.
What was the other draw?
It
felt like a win.
I can't remember. My head's a bit woolly at the moment, but I remember sort of saying this business about, because we had a...
It can't be the Freiburg game, because that was...
No, it wasn't.
No.
Was it good?
Felt like a win.
Was it in Dortmund? Was that a draw?
Yeah, the 2-2, yeah, sure. It just got drowned in the whole whole atmospherical
stuff and what have you, but that again.
Of course.
It felt like a win.
And the Kalou penalty. Oh, what a beauty. In the game, I had the feeling that Kalou didn't have his worst game, but he was just really unlucky. Sometimes he has off games where he can't get anything going.
He was doing well. Doing Kalou-ish kind of things, in that he was sort of skipping around people, but it didn't result in anything.
No, he missed all his shots, and
but
he still played a good game.
Yeah, he was there.
We talked about Grujic being back, and apart from the defensive stuff being
after that initial clanger, which was in the first minute. He had a pretty good game. Bear in mind, he's just coming back from fairly long-term injury. So I'm kind of hoping for good things from him.
And Lecky was... He covered the most distance.
You do.
And he did well.
Mm.
Like the Lecky we know from last season in the beginning, where he had this... Came with the great start with the five goals or something
that. And then it also went sort of... Yeah, just petered off, didn't it? But, There's grounds for optimism there. If we can get our defenders fit again.
If. Big if.
Crossing fingers, legs, everything really.
So if we look at the game from the perspective of before the international break, where we had a horrible, horrible non-performance against Dusseldorf, was it too harsh to say that?
Not really, no.
It just was really, really bad. You had the support... It was not happening at home. Only drawing against Hoffenheim is okay, and it's better than last time. If you look at it from the perspective of the Bayern game, you say, oh, how can they play that bad? Oh, another injury I forgot. Dilrosun got injured. He got injured during the international break playing against Germany in his first cap as a Dutch international player. He came on and left after 10 minutes. With a thigh injury.
Great.
Not thigh.
That's a muscle. It's a muscle.
Muscle injury.
So it's not long-term kind of thing, which is you've got to be grateful for small mercies, I guess.
But in German you say, if you have poo on your foot, you have poo on your foot. Meaning that...
Very sharp, the Germans.
Yes, we are. At least we don't have Brexit yet.
Shut up.
But the saying is, the equivalent of when it rains, it pours. That's what's happening in the injury department at the moment. So we are done with match day 12.
Yep.
Still in 8th place. Let's hope we can win a bit. But why don't we talk about even nicer things, Simon?
Yeah.
What did we have on the night? We are members of a very small but very friendly official fan club, if we may say so.
OFC.
OFC. Mm-hmm. Are we bragging too much? Or we can say we're a tiny but friendly fan club.
Well, it's better than being tiny and unfriendly.
We are called Axel Kruse Jugend, translates into Axel Kruse Youth, which...
Bit of a misnomer in my case, but hey.
Yeah, but it was a play on...
I know.
On a band who have their own youth movement, Turbo Negro, and they have the Turbo Youth, so... And Axel Kruse was captain of Hertha BSC back in the 90s and is as such a pretty nice guy. Bit of a temper, one could say. But he was the person who gave the name. And if you're an official fan club, one of the perks is that if you have a Christmas party on a certain date, you can always apply for a player joining you, which we did this year. And lo and behold, who joined us, Simon? Salomon Kalou. I like that. I was so stressed out about the whole thing, because I figured, okay, what if Sinan Kurt comes along or something like that? And he was really, really friendly, and...
He's a true gent, I think you would say.
True gent.
He was a very nice chap.
Yes. He came along with...
A very large fellow.
That's his friend who drives him. He was really nice too.
Yeah.
And one Hertha employee came with him too. We got some gifts. Lots of... what do you call these cards?
Oh, it's sort of like the player cards that people can... He gives the details of the player, and he signed about a billion of them, didn't he?
A shit ton, yes.
Absolutely loads of them.
And he was really friendly, took pictures with everybody.
Yep.
Then we're also on the video by Hertha TV.
Yeah, they came in with a little video camera and they recorded us on Hertha TV. We'll put a link into the show notes and things about that. We can find it.
How famous we are.
Absolutely.
But it was really, he was really, really just pleasant, and he looked like he appreciated being there with fans. Because I wouldn't expect a millionaire who won the Champions League once to be that down-to-earth and friendly.
Yeah, he seemed really comfortable with sort of being there, and he was having a nice chat with people.
We went to this old Berlin traditional bar, which had an 1892 in its name, which made the choice easy for us to go there. What did you eat, Simon? It was called Heaven and Hell. It was blood sausage and liverwurst.
Gluten liverwurst. It was it's like a, it's not really quite like black pudding. It's a blood sausage anyway, and the other one's a liver sausage. They boil them up for about 6 months, and then they serve it with sauerkraut and mashed potato and mustard.
As German as every cliche about Germans can get.
It's very nice.
Yeah. We had a nice waitress who was fun.
She was a hoot. She was having a good laugh.
And we also had a nice little tombola. Did you win anything, Simon?
I did not.
But your wife did.
She did.
What did you win?
I'm not sure quite what you call it, really. It's a thing to go on top of your Christmas tree. You know, it's not an angel or a star. It's a sort of like a. It's a blue Hertha
thingy.
Spike thing. To go on top of your Christmas tree.
We can wait.
And Pushy said, I've got to put it on top of my Christmas tree and take a photograph of it. He expects photos. And I said, my German Christmas tree or my English Christmas tree?
Oh, we have two.
And he said, well, yes, I have one here and then one back in England too. Because we sort of flip backwards and forwards. You might have noticed this.
Are they real Christmas trees?
The one here is a fake one.
Yeah, it's what
a plastic one.
Yeah.
And at home, we've got one that lives outside in a pot. And we drag it in at Christmas, whether it wants to or not. It sits there crying, the Christmas tree. Think, oh, I'm not coming back inside again. So apparently I have to... How on earth am I going to get that thing home? I don't know, but...
So not to bore our listeners too much, but we had a great time with a very, very gentle and nice person.
I was jealous of Sabina, who won the tea towel. I would have had the tea towel.
Yes, we had great, great prizes. I won the bathroom loudspeaker, which is a fantastic gimmick. I would have never bought by myself.
But apart from that,
it's really must be boring to the people. But we had a great, great time with friends and this nice person.
Yeah,
which I keep repeating for the past minute.
No, he was a true gent.
Very, very nice.
Anyway, enough of all that. It's interesting though that the official fan clubs and things are able to do that, and that the club will send a big pile of goodies. And a player, just to sort of meet and say hello to people.
But the goodies in the tombola were bought by us earlier.
Oh, were they?
Yes.
So they didn't give you anything?
They gave us something, but we didn't know. We had a tombola, which I designed.
Was that the shirt?
No. Also. Okay, let's go back to the Christmas party. We bought this little fan package. And we wrapped everything. And we took stickers and put names of Hertha players on the back. And because we were more people than we had prizes, we also put former Hertha players on the back. So if you had an active Hertha player, you won something. And if you had a former Hertha player, you won a sticker, which is also a nice thing to have.
Gentle listener, I pulled a goalkeeper from 1932.
Gilhar.
I think it was.
You had Gilhar, exactly. And then when
not really current player.
And when they arrived,
just in case you wondered,
when they arrived, they brought gifts, so we had to do something.
I didn't win.
So we said, because we're Axel Kruse Jugend, the Axel Kruse sticker wins everything. And Frank won the big package of all the great gifts, and we kept the Kalu shirt that he gave us for the fan club as such. Are we still talking about this boring thing? Nobody cares.
No, right, okay.
Moving on. Before we go to the members' meeting, I got an email by Lucas from California who talked about your Duda song, and he asked a question. He wanted to know how Nick Lima is doing, and I have to say I wasn't really sure. And you weren't even aware that he was there.
No.
Nick Lima is a young right outside defender who plays for the San Jose Earthquakes in California. And if I gather correctly, he was a college player playing with Jonathan Klinsmann, our American goalkeeper, who had played one game for Hertha so far. And he came by for a few training sessions, and he played in the friendly, but that's about all we know. I think he's gone now, and I haven't heard anything else, so
Zilch.
I can't say anything from that. I hope, Lucas, it's still okay for you. Many greetings out to California.
Ooh.
Let's go to the members' meeting, which was yesterday.
It was.
Yes. Unlike last time, Simon, you didn't attend.
No, I did not.
Why didn't you attend?
Because I wasn't very well.
Yeah, and last time you were just sitting there and you weren't understanding much.
No.
Which doesn't make much sense.
I think I said, because I'm not well, and I'm British.
Oh yeah, in the group. The members' meeting went... I couldn't go either, because I didn't have the time. The members' meeting went pretty smoothly, compared to what I was thinking was going to be when the whole big dispute was still going on. The main important thing was that the project Learning from One's Own History, where Hertha players look into the lives of former Hertha members who were Jewish and who were kicked out during the dark years of German history. And they were... this project won German... They were awarded a prize by a foundation 2 weeks ago. So they got national recognition for that, and then Hertha decided to award them the prize that's called Herthaner of the Year, and it goes to people who have done special things for the club. It was a surprise for everybody involved in the project. I think I was on the list too. And Rolf and Sabine, hello Sabine, if you're listening, congratulations, was in there too. And I think it's important that Hertha does not forget about these dark times and makes sure that these times never...
They should never be forgotten.
...return, yes. And apart from that, Hertha bought back the shares from our investor KKR, so they can own all the shares in the club.
They own 100% of the club now.
Yes, but at what price?
Yeah.
Now they have more... We have more debt now than before, but they want to have all the shares so they can get an investor on board for the new stadium they want to build. But I have some concerns about that whole thing.
They turned a profit, didn't they? Was it 4.7 million?
KKR did, yes.
No, Hertha came out.
Oh, okay, for the year, yes.
Which is better than a loss.
Yeah, but then there was more money from the TV contract.
Yeah, and I mean, a huge chunk, I think. Was it something like a 147 million income, 60 of which, was it not as much as that?
I know 60 million
or so was from the TV.
Yeah, but the shares that KKR bought for a certain amount back in 2015, they got a nice return on that, so Hertha had to pay for that.
Oh, hell's teeth, yeah.
Too.
Because they bought a certain... Yeah. They did okay out of it, but that's what those people do, I suppose. Yeah. Anyway.
So that happened, and they talked about the stadium. Anything else? I don't know. But it was pretty quiet, as some of my friends who went there said. Nothing, no big fights, no yelling, as I was expecting. And everybody got their Christmas chocolate thingy before the end. We'll see what
happens. That would make it worth going.
Hertha are gonna... They want to sign the contracts for the land of the stadium in the first quarter of 2019. And we'll see how that goes. There are some risks involved. And also for buying back the shares, as we mentioned before, Hertha paid money, and now they took on...
They've issued a bond.
They issued a bond.
For...
40 million?
It's a lot of dosh.
Yeah.
But they're having to pay, I think it was 6%, which is pretty hefty interest rate. So how clever an idea that is,
we'll see.
Time will tell.
We can only hope. There are other clubs who build a stadium and then went bankrupt.
Yeah, don't really want to go there.
Who wants to go there? And then Hertha may have turned a profit of 4 million, but now they also increased their liabilities by 40 to 60.
Yeah, it was quite a hefty amount, really. I've got the liabilities now. They've gone from 30.6 million to 47.63 million. That's a 17 million hike.
Yeah.
Makes you wince to think about it, doesn't it? But let's hope they know what they're doing, eh?
You can only hope. But
oh, you can only hope.
Yeah.
Just glad it's not me.
What are we going to do if they go bankrupt? Are we going to keep recording about Hertha's U23 playing at the Poststadion? Are you still going to come flying in for every home game?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Anyway,
that was that. And I think we're almost
any
done.
Any other wrap-up points?
We have the outlook. We are going to play Hannover next
away.
Who are currently in 16th place with 9 points and a goal difference of minus 11. Which on paper sounds like a sure thing.
Well, we're but on knowing minus, our minus beloved, one.
Knowing our beloved Hertha, it might well be one of those instances where they're just
the number royally of times where Hertha have gone in and on paper we should be all over it.
Düsseldorf.
And then we do something stupid.
The good things we
never
still
underestimate the ability of Hertha to fuck things up.
But the good thing is,
it's all part of being a fan.
I remember the game. Remember the game where Kalou had the injury and he was wearing this turban thing, and then he scored 3 goals. Yes. That was 2 seasons ago, I guess.
Yeah,
that would be a nice
thing. I remember
sort
of making some tweet about the fact that he has to wear the lucky turban or whatever it was.
Yeah, we can just hope that
wasn't it blue and white? Wasn't it?
Was blue and white?
It was blue and white bandage thing.
Yeah. And they wanted to do the whole thing as a thing before the next home game, but they didn't do it, after all. So, but if Hertha, it depends. If they play like they did in Düsseldorf, it's going to be not too nice to watch. But if they somehow can pick up where they left off in the TSG Hoffenheim game, we might have a chance of winning that. I don't want to talk about the rest of this batch of the season because it's not too, it's a bit grim at some points with people coming in.
The next home game we've got is Mainz, isn't it, coming up?
No, the next home game is Frankfurt. And I don't want to talk about it right now because they're on a roll. Yeah.
It's a 6:30 in the evening job, isn't it? Is it that one?
Yes. Very nice.
That'll be,
everybody's going to watch.
That'll be cool.
So we're done with today's episode. I would like to say greetings to Christoph from Cologne. I hope you enjoyed the show. And once again, congratulations to all the members of the project who won Hertana of the Year, especially our dear listener, Sabine. What else do fans of the podcast, or does the fan of the podcast have to do?
Remember, listener. our solitary listener, don't forget to go along to iTunes and give us a like, say something complimentary if you feel that way inclined. It always makes it easier for other people to find us when searching through podcasts, so if you wouldn't mind, that would be very nice.
And you can always contact us on
by the normal
media.
Social media sort of things, yeah, sort of Twitter, Instagram.
At DMTF Podcast.
Indeed.
Don't mention the foosball. Number 16. I think we're done. We will be back after the Frankfurt game we just mentioned. So it's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.